Well, my goodness, the holiday season is upon us, huh? Yeah. And how beautiful everything is. I love this time of year. Everything looks so beautiful and festive, and the houses decorated with lights on them, and the decorations people put out in their front yards, and driving past people's homes and seeing the Christmas trees all lit up in the windows. And at my house, I have decorated my mantle, and it's so pretty, and it has deer on it and some angels and the greenery and the lights, and I made a wreath for the front door, and it's beautiful, and we have poinsettias on the front porch and this great little bear's head that's on the porch that's really cute. It's just so fun, and everything's so pretty. And it seems like at this time of year, too, there's so many fun activities to participate in and things to do. Last weekend, we went to an awesome Christmas concert that was all Christmas music. And Friday night of this weekend, we went on a gondola ride through the canals of Naples and got to see all the houses with the lights on them. It was so beautiful. And we went caroling yesterday to two different convalescent homes, a group of us here, and we had such a good time. And they loved it, and we loved it. And it was just such an awesome experience. And then, of course, there's all those other things to do, like shopping and buying presents and wrapping presents and decorating your own tree and baking and going to parties and all of that stuff, which is super fun. And at the same time, it can get totally overwhelming. We can get so busy sometimes at this time of year with all those things that there are to do that we miss out on the sacredness of this holiday season. That sometimes we get so busy that we miss out on feeling and experiencing the sacred that is right at the center of this magical season that we find ourselves in. And we need to feel that sacredness of the season, not just participate in the busyness and do all the doings that there are to do. We want to feel the sacredness of this season and feel the peace of the season and the amazing love that is so apparent and abound in this season. And so it reminds me of the story, the Christmas story, which talks about how Joseph and Mary, who was full with child, went to the town of Bethlehem to register for the census where Jesus was born. And how amidst all the noise and the hustle and bustle and the busyness and the clamor and all the noise of what was going on in the city, all that chaos of all those people, they found room to stay, room to retire, room to slip away in the quiet of the manger, in the stillness and the simplicity of the manger. And it is there that the Christ is born. It is there that the Holy Presence comes into being. It is there that the divine reveals itself within the human being. And so we have within us that clamor and that chaos of Bethlehem, and we also have within us that quiet and that stillness of the manger. And they are both to be found within our hearts and within our minds. And so in metaphysics, we teach that the Christ is not about a person. It is a principle, and it's a title that happened to be fully orbed in that man, Jesus of Nazareth. And so the Christ is about the birth of Christ consciousness within this world and within humanity that happened at the time of Jesus' life. That the Christ is about awakening to that realization that there is only one, that one infinite presence we live in, and that it lives in us, and that there is no distinction or separation, that we are individuations of that light of God, and that realization is what Christ consciousness is about. Realizing that there is one presence, one beingness, one life that we are all living, that there is no separation or distinction apart from that one. And so the Christ is defined also as Spirit's idea of itself. The Christ is Spirit's idea of itself fully orbed in humanity. It is its own self-knowingness. Rocco Errico, who is a Bible scholar and studied in the language of Jesus, says, spiritually and metaphysically, the term Christ means to be enlightened, to be filled and enlightened with the power and the presence of God. And so I have a story that I'd like to share with you. The story concerns a monastery that had fallen upon hard times, once a great order. As a result of waves of anti-monastic persecution in the 17th and 18th centuries and the rise of secularism in the 19th, all its branch houses were lost. There were only 5 monks left in the decaying mother house, the abbot and 4 others, all over 70 years in age. Clearly, it was a dying order. In the deep woods surrounding the monastery, there was a little hut that a rabbi from a nearby town occasionally used as a hermitage. Through their many years of prayers and contemplation, the old monks had become a bit psychic, so they could always sense when the rabbi was in his hermitage. "The rabbi's in the woods. The rabbi is in the woods," they would whisper to each other. As he agonized over the imminent death of his order, it occurred to the abbot that one such time to visit the hermitage and to ask the rabbi if by some possible chance he could offer any advice that might save the monastery. The rabbi welcomed the abbot into his hut, and when the abbot explained the purpose of his visit, the rabbi could only commiserate with him. "I know how it is," he exclaimed. "The spirit has gone out of the people. It is the same in my town. Almost no one comes to the synagogue anymore." So the old abbot and the rabbi wept together. Then they read parts of the Torah and quietly spoke of deep things. The time came when the abbot had to leave. They embraced each other. "It has been such a wonderful thing to meet after all these years," the abbot said. "But I still have failed in my purpose for coming here. Is there nothing you can tell me? No piece of advice that you can give me that would help me save my dying order?" "No, I'm sorry," the rabbi responded. "I have no advice to give you. The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." When the abbot returned to the monastery, his fellow monks gathered around him to ask, "Well, what did the rabbi say?" "He couldn't help," the abbot answered. "We just wept and read the Torah together. The only thing he did say, just as I was leaving, it was something cryptic, was that the Messiah is one of us. I don't know what he meant." In the days and weeks and months that followed, the old monks pondered this and wondered whether there was any possible significance to the rabbi's words. "The Messiah is one of us." Could he have possibly meant one of us monks here at the monastery? If that's the case, which one? Do they suppose he meant the abbot? Yes. If he meant anyone, he probably meant Father Abbot. He's been our leader for more than a generation. On the other hand, he might have meant Brother Thomas. Certainly, Brother Thomas is a holy man. Everyone knows Thomas is the man of the light. Certainly, he could not have meant Brother Elred. Elred gets crotchety at times. But come to think of it, even though he's a thorn in people's sides, when you look at it, Elred is virtually always right. Maybe the rabbi did mean Brother Elred. On and on and on he went. Of course the rabbi didn't mean me. He couldn't have possibly meant me. I'm just an ordinary person. Yet supposing he did, suppose I am the Messiah. As they contemplated this manner, the old monks began to treat each other with extraordinary sacredness, on the off chance that among them one might be the Messiah. And on the chance that each monk himself might be the Messiah, they began to treat themselves with extraordinary sacredness. Because the forest in which it was situated was beautiful, it so happened that people still occasionally came to visit the monastery and picnic on its tiny lawn, to wander along some of its paths, and even go into the dilapidated chapel to meditate. And they did so. Without even being conscious of it, they sensed an aura
of extraordinary sacredness that now began to surround the five monks and seemed to radiate out from them and permeate the atmosphere of the place. There was something strangely attractive, even compelling about it. Hardly knowing why, they began to come back to the monastery more frequently, to picnic, to play, to pray. They began to bring their friends and show them this special place, and their friends began to bring their friends. And so within a few years, the monastery once again had become a thriving order, and thanks to the rabbi's gift, a vibrant center of light and spirituality. You already have that Christ presence within you. And when we make space for it, when we look for it, when we get quiet and allow it to come forward, when we place ourselves looking for the sacred, that's when we discover it within ourselves. That Christ presence is within us because we are each individuations of God consciousness. That Christ presence is always present within us as peace, that peace that passes understanding, that peace that has nothing to do with this world, as a love that is unconditional, that doesn't depend on conditions in order to feel that love and in order to be that love. That Christ's presence is already within us as the truth and the knowingness that we are one with that infinite presence. It is simply waiting for you to create space so that it can come forward. It is already within you as the light of your being, as the truth of your oneness with the infinite, as the place within you that knows. But like Mary, we must remove ourselves from the chaos and the hustle and bustle and the noise and the busyness and retreat to that place of quietness, to that manger of our own being, to discover that Christ presence, to discover that light of God that is fully orbed, to experience that. Rocco Errico says, Jesus, the Christed One, came to awaken every human heart's potential and capacity to manifest the rich spiritual dimensions of heaven on earth. The purpose of Christ in us, then, is not only for self-realization, but for the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven wherever we may be. When we get in touch with that presence of the infinite that is one with us, that Christ presence, that is when we are able to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, the kingdom of peace to earth, the kingdom of love and goodwill and good itself to earth. And so the title of my talk today is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. And that title is about, it takes us being like that clear night sky, still and quiet and open and receptive in order for that Christ presence to be born in us. In order for us to experience that, we have to create a space in time, within ourselves, in the busyness of our lives. We have to set the intention for us to feel the sacred, to be in the presence of the sacred, to look for the sacred, to be quiet and open and peaceful and still. And it is we experience then the sacredness of this season and the sacred in this season when we create the space for ourselves to feel that and to experience that. When we set the intention to have this holiday season be a season where we experience it as sacred, where we set aside time where we aren't so busy doing all the things that there are to do during this holiday season, but instead we let go of what feels like an obligation. We let go of those things that feel like shoulds. We let go of those things that we don't really want to do, but we're doing out of obligation or should. Those things that really aren't in alignment with our most deeply held values about what this holiday season is about for us. I know that in my younger days, I do less than half of the stuff that I used to do around Christmas. And I know when I was younger, I used to go to 3 different houses on Christmas Day, drive all the way to El Segundo and all the way down to Huntington Beach and be on the 405 in that traffic. And I used to send out between 150 and 200 Christmas cards. I used to do so many things. I know this year we didn't put lights on the house. And this year we haven't done our tree yet. We're going to do it today, and I'm really excited about it. But I am doing the things that are valuable and the things that are important, the things that feel like they are sacred, the things that make this season feel like it's sacred. Those are the things that are important to me. And so it's important for us to look at what is important to us in this season. What do we want it to feel like? What do we want it to look like? What do we want to be experiencing on the inside during this Christmas season? And so I invite you to look at where in your life or what it is that you are doing during this holiday season that is not in alignment with your most deeply held values and what you want this season to feel like and to be like for you. To look at where you are doing things out of obligation instead of out of joy, or where you are doing things out of duty instead of out of love. Can you shift some of those? Can you shift what it is that you're doing, or can you shift your perspective about it so that you are doing it from a place of love and a place of joy instead of a place of obligation? Are you doing things like going to work parties that you don't really want to go to, or giving gifts out of obligation that you don't really want to give? You get to be guided by your own inner calling of what the season is for you. What can you take off your plate so you don't feel so busy? What is keeping you from experiencing this as being holy, this season as being sacred? What is keeping you from feeling the presence that is right here? Is there something that you can add or implement during this Christmas season that will make it feel more sacred for you? That concert that I told you we went to last week, it was so amazing. It was men and women dressed in long red formal dresses and men in tuxedos with an orchestra playing with them in an old Episcopal church that was all stone. They sang, I think it was 22 Christmas carols that were European Christmas carols, many of them, not just the ones that we're used to. It was beautiful. It was angelic. It was sacred. That's the things that I want to experience during this holiday season. That's what makes it feel magical to me. So what can you do to make it feel sacred? Light a candle at night when you're home. Sit in front of your tree and just look at the tree with all the house lights off. That's one of my favorite things to do during this holiday season. Listen to some really beautiful music or beautiful Christmas music, or just sit in the silence and be. Just sit in the quiet. In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, Jesus spent much of his time communing with his own soul, for it is through our inner thought that we contact God. To this remarkable man, out of the silence of his own soul, came a direct revelation of his sonship, his oneness with God. Back of the conflict of ideas, back of the din of external life and action, back, in the innermost recesses of uplifted thought and silent contemplation, there is a voice ever proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." You are the beloved of the beloved. And we discover that in the silence of our own being. In the silence, right in the midst of this holiday season. And so take time to be in the silence. Take time to commune with your own soul. Take time in this busyness to meditate and to pray and to sit and to listen. Take time to be aware of all of the beauty of the season that is so everywhere present when we slow down and look and watch and listen. Be aware of the beauty and the magic that we see and the amazing abundance of love that is being expressed. Just like the gifts that people you hear today brought for children and mothers that you will never meet, that is sharing that Christ love with the world. Take it in. Take all the good in that's around us this season. And take time to just be. Be in the manger of your own soul. That is how we give birth to that Christ light from within ourselves. That is where and how we discover the prince or the princess of peace. That's where we discover that wellspring of love that is beyond conditions. That is where you discover and bring forward your love for life and your love for humanity and love for yourself. That, in that silence, is how you discover the sacred that is everywhere present. And so take time to be in your manger this holiday season. And then you'll be creating for yourself the most magical, the most sacred holiday season from the inside out. Then you'll be being the presence of the Christ light during this holiday season. Then you will be grounded in your own light, in your own beingness, while you go out there and participate in the busyness of everything that's going on. Then you will go out into the world filled up and full. And so blessings to every single one of you on this holiday season and every day, actually. So blessings to you on this path. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is just to be in this recognition, to be in this recognition of that most infinite presence that is everywhere present. That one that expresses itself in and through and as everything that exists in this universe. That presence that is the light, that is the love, that presence that is magnificence itself and beauty and glory and wonder and magic. That this season I can just see and feel and sense how it is filled and overflowing and vibrating with this presence. For that presence of the Christ light is so awake right now in this moment. That Christ presence is so awake and alive and magically stirring within everyone. And so I recognize that this is none other than that presence of the infinite in each and every single person's heart and in and as every single person's spirit and their beingness. And so how good it is today to revel in this presence, to be bathed in this light. And so I recognize that this holiday season, every single day of it, is filled with this presence and with this light and with this love. That one beingness that is life itself. And so I know that as we walk through this season, that we walk in this light and that we walk as this light. That it is so bright within us that it shines everywhere we go, out unto everyone we meet. As love and as peace and as connection and unity and oneness, as an embrace in this one family of humanity. How good it is to witness this love that is so vibrant here and now. And so I just speak this word knowing that that presence goes before us and with us in everything that we do, lighting the way. And so I recognize that that is not just the truth about us in this room, but that is the truth about every single person in this world. The light of the divine right now is shining itself so brightly in every heart and in every home and in every mind. That there is something sweeping across this world right now of a coming together of oneness, of love, of brotherhood, of humanity together in this, as each one of us are representations of that light. And that God is having its way right now in and through and around everything that exists. How good it is to just be immersed in this truth. And so I also speak this word at this time for every single world leader and politician and decision maker, knowing that that wisdom of that Most High God right now is active and alive and vibrant within each and every single one of them, that it is leading the way, that it is leading their decisions and their choices for a world that works for everyone. For this is the heart of God unfolding. And so I am so grateful for this. I say thank you for this. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law, knowing that it is absolutely manifesting itself now in this moment. And so we just rest in this truth. And I say, and so it is. Amen.